Welcome, lucky listeners. Grab yourselves a hot cup of... Tuck yourself down deep into the covers and make sure the lights are on. It's time for Read Me a Nightmare.
Welcome to episode 17 of Read Me a Nightmare. I'm Angelique Fons, your host, and I want to invite you to visit the town of Arcadia. Full of secrets and strange happenings, you never know who or what you might meet. In this episode, the Cajun answer to a werewolf roams the forests. The Rougarou is on the hunt and no one is safe. This story was written by me and first published in the anthology The Monsters We Forgot, Volume 3 by Soteria Press. Back by popular demand, Christy Stewart voices the Rougarou. Christy has worked in the communications and media industry most of her professional career. I've worked with her, and she is one of my favorite voices in the business. I'm always completely entertained by her interpretations of my characters. Now put on a warm jacket, load your gun with some silver bullets, and let's launch into the Rougarou.
My husband Benoit was moving the two of us up north, where the summers are short, and the winter creates frostbite patches on your skin. Being originally from Louisiana, my Creole blood didn't like the cold. This was Canadian logging country, in one of the least inhabited areas of Ontario. Grocery shopping was a day trip, and the closest neighbor was an hour's snowmobile ride away. Our romance started at a big television network in Toronto. I sold commercial airtime, and Benoit was the creative lead in the marketing department. More than just our ad campaigns clicked, I was instantly attracted to this burly man with an amazing imagination. We also connected through our French Louisiana roots. His ancestors were run out of Nova Scotia and settled there before migrating back to Quebec. And my descendants came from African slaves brought to work on French colonial plantations. We both loved reading the history and colorful superstitions of our New Orleans culture. We made an odd couple. My petite frame and coffee-colored skin, next to his hulking body and red-headed paleness. He proposed to me by piercing an arrow through a voodoo doll's heart with a ring attached to it. There was great content on Netflix that featured legends of our people, including some spine-tingling horror movies. Unfortunately, we weren't the only ones who loved Netflix. As more and more TV viewers cut the cord and canceled their cable subscriptions, conventional television suffered. We were both let go when the company's shares sank to penny stock level. The owners filed for bankruptcy protection, and hundreds of people were walked out the door without severance packages. My husband had an odd weekend hobby where he liked to drive into the Canadian Shield forests and strap chains to Belgian horses. Belgians are the strongest breed of heavy horse and skid logs out of forests. Wealthy landowners found it a novelty to hire him for a weekend. It put a few dollars in his pockets and kept him in incredible shape. Environmental horse logging was a dying art, but his grandfather had cleared land with draft horses for a living up in the Gatineau region of Quebec, so Ben came by it naturally. When his grandfather died, Ben took the two old horses and boarded them at a stable north of Toronto with big grassy fields. He said working with Betty and Bob, the Belgians, reminded him of his Acadian roots. We'd put off starting a family to focus on our careers, and now neither of us had one. Toronto was an expensive city, and regular jobs in short supply, so I couldn't say no when he found a lucrative job as a logger almost 4 hours northeast. He was hired to clear trees near Bon Echo Park for a rich family who wanted to open a private campground. Using horses to do the logging made sense to keep the trails and land undamaged. Part of Benoit's pay was free furnished accommodation on a small acreage with a barn for Betty and Bob, his grandfather's Belgians. We were renting a condo in downtown Toronto, so we broke the lease and sold all our furniture on Kijiji. If I thought that process made me miserable, I had no idea what was in store for me. We packed up his pickup truck with the bare essentials, our large American bulldog Daisy, and started the long drive north. I'd thought cottage country was the wilderness. Wrong. Once we got into the country of Frontenac, it was obvious why no one had settled here after the early logging boom. The land was hilly, harsh, and truly remote. For the last hour, there wasn't a restaurant, store, or even a poutine stand. Only a few old, lonely shacks here and there. After what seemed forever, Ben pulled into a two-acre property with an old double-wide trailer on blocks. It backed onto a huge forest, so it would be easy for him to hitch up the horses and get to work. But I couldn't see anything else good about it. The house had aluminum siding, a crooked porch, and small windows. Smoke billowed out of the chimney, and a pile of logs sat outside. Great. Probably no central heating.
Ben, you got to be kidding, I asked, as we turned onto the snow-covered property.
Hey, it's not that bad. It's only for a year, Louisa. Think how much fun you are going to have keeping the fireplace stocked with wood.
He gave me a big grin and reached over Daisy's back to give my short black hair a ruffle. I kept my mouth shut. There was really nothing he could do about it. And I loved him. So I was going to endure this. We unpacked and settled the horses into the small barn. At least the stables were quaint, with an old-school hayloft and a wide aisle down the middle. Going back into the trailer house, I turned the tap at the cracked ceramic sink to get a glass of water. It was an odd yellow color and smelled like sulfur. Good thing we had some bottled water. There wasn't a fireplace, but instead, a black wood stove that ate logs voraciously. Mysterious stains marked the walls. I could get used to the rundown furnishings, well water and wood stove. What I couldn't get used to was the howling. Every night, the eerie serenade of a wolf made my blood run cold.
Ben, do you hear that?
I asked, shaking him awake the first few nights after he crawled into bed, exhausted from logging.
It's just the January winds. They pick up coming down the mountainside, he said, giving me a hug and promptly falling back asleep.
Laboring all day in the freezing cold made him sleep like the dead. Benoit got up with the sun and took Betty and Bob out to pull down oak and ash trees. He didn't return till sundown. Then he had to bed down the horses and give them grain and fresh water before coming in himself. There is nothing quite like the smell of man sweat mixed with horse manure and chainsaw oil. Ben would take off his wet boots and hang the insoles by the fire along with his damp pants and jacket. The whole house would be permeated with the foul odor. One more thing I had to learn to tolerate. I didn't sleep well at night, and it made me edgy. I was sure the howling was intensifying. That was not the wind. I took comfort from Daisy's big warm body draped over my feet. I'm sure my 140-pound bulldog could take on a super-sized wolf, or at least distract it while I ran away. After about a week of huddling in the house, trying to make it homey, it was time to brave the cold. I hadn't ventured into the thigh-high snow yet, but by now, Ben and his skidding equipment had made a good trail. Shivering with teeth chattering, I got out of bed and bundled up with sweatpants and three sweaters. There was coffee left in the bottom of the pot, so I poured myself a cup of the now thick sludge and pulled on my boots, snow pants, and thick down jacket. The puffy coat, along with three sweaters, made a scarf redundant. I could hardly turn my neck already, doing my impersonation of the Stay Puffed Marshmallow Man.
Daisy and I headed out the back door and started following Ben's footprints to the barn. The real path would start there. The cold made my nostril hairs freeze and my lungs started a long, slow burn. When I got to the barn, I pulled open the sliding door and went in to warm up for a minute. The horses truly lived in nicer digs than we did. Climbing the wood-rung ladder, I went up to explore the hayloft. There were spider webs coating the window at the end. Rubbing a hole in the dirt, I peered out at endless miles of trees up the mountain. A gorgeous sight with the sun reflecting off the tips of the fir and pine trees. I made a plan to get cross-country skis next time we went to town. Looking down to the side, I saw a big indentation in the hay, like something had been laying there. Bending down for a closer look, I saw some rough black and brown hair. Bear, maybe? Picking up a clump. The coarse mass certainly wasn't bear. The thought that it might be the wolf I heard howling made me shiver. Even in the warm barn under my layers, I noticed the hay still felt warm. Getting up quickly, I hustled back to the ladder. Just before my head dropped past the loft floor, I saw two masked black eyes staring at me. An enormous raccoon strolled out from behind a round bale and settled back in her spot. I felt a little ridiculous. Well, what kind of monster was I imagining anyways? Daisy was in the aisle waiting for me. We headed out of the barn, but my unfounded fear had coated me in sweat, and I didn't want to catch a worse chill. I abandoned the winter walk idea and decided to tell Ben that we had a raccoon issue when he got home. The creature was probably stealing all our horse grain, except he did not come home that evening. Our spicy seafood stew sat untouched in the slow cooker. Daisy and I waited by the back door, staring down the trail as the sun sank behind the mountain. I tried to will the sight of the old Belgians and Ben to appear, but nothing happened. Cold terror crept up the back of my spine. Rather than sit still and let the very last rays of light disappear, I put on all my warm gear again and grabbed an industrial-sized flashlight. This time, Daisy and I rushed all the way down the footpath, past the barn, and onto the horse's skidding trail. As soon as we entered the forest, the little bit of light from the sun was obscured. It was really dark. I couldn't tell if the icy chill I was feeling was from the cold or from dread. Walking as fast as I could on the icy trail, I tried not to look into the black trees on either side of me. Daisy scampered eagerly through the undergrowth, her nose guiding her. This was her first real walk off the property.
Benoit, are you out here? Ben, call out if you need help,
I hollered every few feet. At first I heard nothing back, but then a long, slow howl filled the air. I stopped in my tracks and my heart thudded to an awful full stop. Daisy nudged me and a low growl emanated from her throat, piercing the night. I heard the eerie howl again, and my feet moved me forward before I became paralyzed with fear. Rushing forward into the black, only the thin light from the flashlight stopped me from tripping over roots. Up ahead, I could see a clearing made by Ben's logging efforts. Charging into the wide open space, a glow came from the full moon cresting over the trees. Once again, I heard the howl. A big chestnut horse burst out of the trees on the far side and came galloping across the clearing. By the white stripe on her face, I could tell it was Betty. She had her hauling collar on, but was missing the rest of the harness and chains. She came straight for me. But luckily, she slid to a stop before trampling me, and I raised a hand to her cheek. Her eyes were wide open with the whites of them showing, and sweat coated her body. A froth covered her chest and neck.
Whoa, girl, where's Benoit? Where's your partner, Bob?
I said as I stroked her neck calmingly. My eyes quickly assessed her body, and I noticed a bit of blood on her side. Uh-oh. Before I could take a closer look, the howl started up again, and this time it sounded very close. Betty reared up and galloped down the path towards home.
Now I knew something terrible had happened. Was the team attacked by a wolf pack? Where was Benoit? He would never leave his horses. Up ahead, I saw a dark form laying in the snow by the edge of the clearing. Daisy charged ahead of me and started whining with joy. It must be Ben. Running at full tilt, I crashed onto the snow beside him and pushed Daisy back from licking his face.
It's me, Louisa. Are you okay?
His eyes were open, and he stared silently at me.
What happened? Are you hurt?
I asked while scanning his body for injury. I couldn't see anything immediately wrong with him until he pointed at his leg. His chainsaw pants were ripped, and I could see blood underneath them.
Did you cut your leg with your chainsaw? Can you walk?
I gasped, trying to get the dwindling glow from the flashlight close enough so I could take a better look.
I didn't cut my leg. I was bitten.
What? Bitten by what?
I said, trying to fight tears, but keeping my panic under control. I was going to have to get us out of here. Just then the low howl started up again, and Daisy turned and took off into the trees.
Daisy? No! Daisy, come back!
I screamed into the darkness.
Let it go, Louisa, and help me up!
Ben grabbed my arm. I tried to get his massive frame off the ground. After a few minutes of slipping and grunting, it worked and we were both standing.
Where is Bob?
I asked as we slowly start walking towards home. He's limping and leaning heavily on me.
I saw Betty on the way here.
I'm sorry, honey, but Bob is gone,
he said, deep sadness choking his voice.
Gone? How?
I clung to his arm and focused on putting one step in front of the other.
He was also bitten by this thing. When I tried to defend him, it gave me a bite, then dragged him away, chains, harness, and all. Then Betty, she shook free and took off.
His French accent strong as it always was when he became emotional.
Bitten by what? A wolf?
I said, looking down at his bloody leg. It seems to have clotted up, thank goodness. An artery wasn't hit.
No, not a wolf.
Did your grandmother tell you about the tales of the man with the wolf's head, the Rougarou Mandu?
He said.
Yes. If I didn't go to church, she told me the Rougarou would come for me. Every kid in my neighborhood was terrified into good behavior with stories about the legendary monster. So you were trying to tell me you were bit by what? A Cajun werewolf?
I asked in disbelief. As if to accent my question, the howling started up again. I heard the rapid pounding of paws behind us, but as I turned ready to fight, I saw it was just Daisy. Thank goodness. We were almost home and Benoit was picking up the pace.
Louise, I'm not imagining anything. It had a human body with long claws on its hands and a wolf's head.
I didn't respond immediately, but tried to remember the story my grandmother told me. Always trying to frighten me into going to those long, boring Catholic services. Some part of the story was niggling at my brain. We were at the barn now, and Betty was waiting at the door. I leaned Benoit against the side wall to let her into the barn and her stall. Luckily, her heated bucket was already filled with water, so I just tossed some hay at her. She calmed down as soon as she started munching, but her eyes flicked in confusion at the empty stall beside her. Grabbing a hold of Benoit again, we staggered into our house, and I set him down on the couch. He pulled off his chainsaw pants and snow gear while I got some warm water, iodine, and bandages. It did look like a creature had taken a chunk out of his leg. After cleaning it up and disinfecting it, I dressed him in his flannel PJs and gave him a glass of scotch. I rarely drink, but I got one for myself as well. I remember my grandmother's story clearer now. The heat of the whiskey cleared my mind and boiled in my mouth.
Do you remember the rest of the legend, Benoit? The part about how the Rougarou was under the spell for 101 days?
Then after drawing human blood, the curse is transferred to his victim? I took a big gulp of my scotch and looked at him. His eyes grew wide. He remembered. A new shiver rippled through me.
I hope you enjoyed Christy Stewart's reading of The Rougarou. I know I felt shivers up and down my spine more than a few times. If you want to learn more about the strange town of Arcadia, visit www.fonz.ca. The next episode on our roster is going to be a real threat. I mean treat. Ida Obey will read her own story, Clotilde. It features her alter ego, Martine Corbeau, the succubus ghost host of The Last Girls Club. Sleep with your eyes open until the next episode of Read Me a Nightmare.